From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Here in Idaho, 35 of our state's 44 counties are rural, leaving many areas of the Gem State without sufficient access to health care or resources to help people make decisions about their health, like whether or not to be vaccinated. It's for that reason that the University of Idaho Extension decided to take part in an initiative from the Excite program, which works to provide resources regarding adult immunization to vulnerable populations so that they have the opportunity to make informed decisions about their health. Joining us today to talk more about the project is Lindsay McConnell-Soong, the Health Equity Director for University of Idaho Extension and the Project Manager for Excite. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Gemma. Happy to be here.
So it's my understanding, Lindsay, that this project is now in its third phase. So can you tell us a little bit about how the initial project got started?
Yes, sure. That's correct. We're in our third phase of funding from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And how this started in 2021 really was a rapid response to the pandemic. That first phase, we were focused on filling the gaps in education for our community healthcare providers. We recognized that that was something that we just didn't have the capacity to do in that realm. They were, you know, so busy doing a bunch of other really important things for the community. So CDC recognized that the extension system, not just in Idaho, but across the country, is really in a great position to assist with that. We're trusted messengers in every county. We bring reliable evidence-based information to our communities. And so that first phase is really how that got started.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first phase. And then what did the second phase look like?
Right. So they were concurrent. The first phase was about a year long, and we just stepped in and helped fill those gaps in education. The second phase was a much larger, broader project. It was a two-year project where the CDC asked for innovative pilot projects to assist in decreasing vaccine hesitancy and increasing uptake for adults. And so this didn't only include COVID-19 vaccines. This is for all adult immunizations. As you know, we have a very robust childhood immunization program in the country, but we don't really have that for adults. And so this was a good opportunity to look at that. And so our team proposed a three-step educational approach to mobile vaccine clinics. What we saw is that those vaccine clinics that were really popular and really effective as soon as the vaccine for COVID specifically came out, once we got through that population where the folks who knew they wanted to get vaccine had gotten it, those mobile vaccines weren't as successful. So we knew that we needed to do more education. And so our extension team developed a model in which we would go in ahead of time to a site, customize our approach based on what their needs were, sit down with them, have one-on-one conversations before the clinic ever arrived, and then coordinate with our partners to bring the clinic for their convenience at the site. And then we also followed up again 1 to 2 weeks later to say, hey, we're still here. We care about how things are going. Is there any other resources that you need? And so we had really great success with that.
So I'm curious, how many mobile clinics do you have active in Idaho right now?
Well, so during that two-year phase that ended in June of this year, we conducted 20 mobile vaccine clinics with our partners. And so we did a variety of sites for that. We went to some manufacturing companies, some agricultural businesses. We had weekly clinics repeating at the Mexican consulate for a while. And then we adjusted our approach a little bit, and we focused really into our dairy sites where we were able to use our extension ag specialists to integrate some farm safety education into those events.
So now you're into the third phase of this project. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so we're really excited for this next phase. At the end of phase two, we developed a relationship, a great one, with South Central Public Health District, so the Magic Valley area, and what we found is that they were able to sustain what we built in project or in phase two, by adopting that model for their health district. So they're already applying that. Phase three is going to be building off of that. The CDC provided funding for an 18-month educational campaign. And so we are partnered with both South Central Public Health District and Southwest District Health here in the Treasure Valley. And for this campaign, we decided to go a little upstream to be a little bit more longer lasting in our impact and to make some more systems change. So our priority population in this educational campaign is the 40% of Idahoans who are either living in the crisis of poverty or right on the edge. And so our three team members in extension for this phase of Excite are all certified poverty coaches. And so we will actually be training the health department staff, so primarily their immunization education team, but also other departments, front desk staff, administrators, in poverty-informed approaches, and then working with them on how they can adjust their educational outreach strategies to be more poverty-informed and be more effective on that immunization front.
So you mentioned certified poverty coaches. What is that? I've never heard that term.
Right. So we were able to have a 6-month design phase for this project. And in that, our team decided to participate in Dr. Donna Beagle's poverty training. She has an organization called Communication Across Barriers. And she grew up in generational poverty and is really taking on this task of ensuring that we have better poverty education for the people who are making decisions in our society. And so it's a fantastic training, and we are now able to provide some of that training and coaching to our partners in the community.
So I know this whole project is in regards to educating folks about adult vaccinations. I am assuming, though, that you offer more resources than that to people. So what does that look like?
Right. So one of the major lessons that we learned throughout this project from the beginning in phase one is that, well, especially at this point, people are tired of hearing about immunizations. And so we, especially in those clinics where we worked on the dairies, we worked at two of the largest dairies in the state. And we learned that integrating immunization information into other topics of interest and relevance for people really helped a lot in the receptivity and decreasing some of that hesitancy. So, for example, at the dairies, we were presenting on farm safety and the practices that these people are, you know, doing every day, presented to them by not a medical authority, but somebody they can relate to that is an expert in their field. And then talking about how having a healthy immunized workforce is part of farm safety. So coming at it to where we can make that relevance and make those connections and doing it while we're building relationships and having one-on-one conversations for people with people. But that's difficult because it takes a lot of time. And so there really has to be this systems change that happens in how we approach working with different populations.
So, Lindsay, you mentioned that you went out to two of the largest dairies to do this education. So what other populations, I mean, or what does the population look like that you're primarily working with?
Right. So in that phase two where we were offering the mobile clinics, our priority population was for rural and Hispanic agricultural workers. We certainly didn't turn down any offers to do mobile clinics at any sites, but that's really what we were trying to focus on because of what we saw in the disproportionate impact of the pandemic on these folks. And in addition, at agricultural sites, for example, we added in the Tdap vaccine at those dairies because that's certainly relevant. It definitely is important for that population to have.
And I was just going to ask you. So, I mean, I think due to the pandemic having happened, I think when we think of vaccinations and we think of adults, we think COVID vaccine, right?
Right.
As you mentioned, Tdap, there are numerous vaccines that adults should be getting. I mean, like, let's, for example, say one being shingles. So what are the certain vaccines that you are educating folks about? And with that said, you know, why is it important to have this type of education about immunization?
Right. So the vaccines that we would bring to the clinics, those would be the ones that we would focus on for our education specifically. So we offered COVID and flu during throughout most of our project, and then added in Tdap once we got to the dairies. So really making that relevant, what is right up front. But we also really tried to educate on the immune system in general. You know that yes, there's a number of vaccines that adults need to stay up to date on for disease prevention and their overall health. And so really trying to work with people so that they could understand how our bodies work, how vaccines are developed, and how they work within our bodies. And I think really what we've learned is making that connection and having these conversations with folks so that they can understand how it directly impacts them. You know, you can have a doctor on TV sharing out this information, but what does it mean for me specifically? What does it mean for my family? What does it mean in my line of work? How is that part of being, you know, safe on the job or for employers? How is that important to their bottom line and the functioning of their business? So it really does have this importance on so many different levels.
So what kinds of barriers did you notice that people come up against when it comes to making decisions regarding their health and their health care?
Well, as we've had many conversations about, you know, misinformation is definitely one of those, and so we really tried to work from our position as extension educators of having this reputation as a trusted messenger. And then, I mean, just language barriers certainly is certainly one of those. Even just for us, finding bilingual educators who are available to work with us so that we could reach those populations is one. And then, especially in the agricultural community, these are extremely hardworking people, and they don't have much time off. You know, so that convenience and knowing where to go and being able to get there. You know, is there a pharmacy that's open when I'm not at work? I'm exhausted. I want to go home, be with my family. Do I need to, you know, figure out how to make a medical appointment, and maybe they don't speak my language. So lots of barriers that folks come across. And so we really tried to make it as convenient as possible. I mean, we brought food, we brought a taco truck, we brought additional health resources, you know, blood pressure checks, and just tried to make it a very positive atmosphere, that was convenient for them and showed them that we cared.
So how long are you hoping that this newest project will last, or can it become a permanent project?
Well, I'm not sure what the plans for the CDC are, but we really went into planning for this project with the idea that we don't want the end date of this grant cycle, which is November of next year, to mean anything for the work that we're doing, right? We want to create this systems level change, and it's so encouraging to be able to do that. I mean, if you just think about having a wide variety of health department staff who are trained in poverty-informed or even trauma-informed practices, and that changes the way they interact with people. Having front desk staff trained differently in that goes far beyond the date of a grant cycle and is able to continue regardless of funding, right? These will be things that have changed within their perspectives and how they view the work that they're doing. And that is most meaningful, I think, to our team.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about about what you're doing. Really appreciate your time.
Sure. Thank you so much for highlighting the work.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.